Let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of the only high priest we have, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how grateful we are that our high priest, even though touched with the human feelings, he was without sin, and now is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Oh, how grateful we are. And Father, we pray that in this service, you will be honored, that Jesus may be glorified and exalted, and that the cries of the Bible be clear in the minds and hearts of people. We pray that as we praise you already, and we will continue to praise, our heart be true to what we sing and say. And Father, we pray for those who are listening at this hour across South County, across there in Santa Cruz, and who knows where the waves of KKMC goes. And Father, we pray that each one in their home may rejoice with us in this moment of church service. We pray for those who listen in the tape ministry, that their heart also be touched by the praise and by thy word. And as a result of that, their life may change in a new man, in a man just like Jesus. We pray for ourselves, Father. We come to church with a heavy heart sometimes, and we pray that the comfort of thy word and the power of the Spirit may lift us up, and that we may go home with a new view of Christ and with the power of the Holy Spirit well into our heart. We pray for the second service at 2:30. Also, as Brother Mark Trout will preach, that the people will listen and will be able also to hear the word of the living God. And we pray for the afternoon services, Father, at 4 o'clock and at 6 o'clock, that in thee we may have a day of joy in thy house. And the greatest joy for us is to lift Jesus up and up and up. Because we know that if we lift Jesus up, he will draw all men unto himself. And now, Father, we pray for our missionaries. They are in different parts of the world. One of our missionaries is our radio ministry, who reaches all the areas in different counties around us. And then the Tate ministry. And then we look into Spain, and we have two people, one in the north, and Huasca, Brother Noel, and one in the south, Eusebio Perez. And we pray that you reach them with your power and your comfort. In Ukraine, Father, we have a man who is being trained to teach pastors there. And we pray for him and for his wife and for his daughter, that the training be completed soon, and that soon he will be able to sit in seminary and teach those people the value of the Scripture and the God of the Scripture. And Father, we have a care center right here in Morgan Hill. We get the people in emergencies, ladies who have been pregnant, and so now they need help. And Father, if we say abortion is wrong, we also have to say, here we are to help you out and to give you hope. And Father, thank you for the center in our city. Thank you for Ruben Zachert, who is in Lodi, Father, teaching the Spanish people. That church started about 2 years ago and is growing and growing and growing. Thank you for the local church that hosted them and charged them nothing. Rather, they give them an offering. Thank you, Father, for that. And then, Father, we pray that as we look forward to this Sunday, that we, the people of God, may exhibit the joy of the Lord all the time, so others will be attracted to the God that we have in our heart. And now, Father, as we continue in this service, we also are aware that the ministry needs money to pay. And so your people have been faithful in our church, extremely faithful. And I praise the Lord for them. And so we ask the blessings upon the offering and upon the giver. In Jesus' precious name, we pray and thank you for what you're going to do with us even now. Amen. At the moment of the offertory, I'm just sharing with you just these few minutes, actually about maybe 1 or 2 minutes, in reference to our church. I'm sure, excuse me, that people have shared with you already the phone number and so on, and the services and so on. But one thing I want you to know, on Saturday, the 19th, we will have Father and Son breakfast about 8:30 a.m. And we want to invite you. You be our guest. You come here, and we're going to have a great, an absolute time, a great breakfast together, served by a company that will come and prepare the breakfast for us. And then also, we're going to have a great speaker in the morning to challenge our life and to help us to be the fathers that we're supposed to be. Well, may God bless you, and may you enjoy the service today. And above all, oh people, I want to know that you are listening. Please write to us, call us. And if you need help, here we are, 778-2595, ready to serve you, ready to help you. May God bless you. Let us join this service in progress.
Thank you, choir. We ask you now to take your gospel, take your Bible, and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. If you didn't bring a Bible, there is a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find it today, our reading today, on page 794. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. John 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father, we praise your holy name. We come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you that you have rescued us from the wrath to come and reconciled us to yourself in Christ's atoning death. We pray, Father, that you will be with your servant, Gabriel Otero, as he proclaims the gospel of grace and peace to us in this place and on the radio, that we may know you because the Son has revealed you, as we abide in him and in his words and in his love, striving to keep his commandments. Give us ears to hear, that we may understand and apply these words to our own lives. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, my brother. Willingly, he took the place of our brother Fred Vitola, who is in New Jersey today, enjoying the visit with his family and his sister and all the people there in the area. Before I open the Word of God with you, I want to share two things. One, just sharing a thought. John Hausbenstock, you know, he was a man that we helped him when his car stopped here in the area. And about 2 years ago, we helped him all the way. Brother Paul helped him. And we became good friends. He lived in Seattle, Washington. And we keep on writing to each other. And he let us know that he visited the hospital, and there was an Indian girl who tried to hang herself, an exchange student, and he shared the Word of God. And he said this in his email this morning: Shalim, the Indian girl, is making progress in different areas, but it still has a long way to go due to the severity of her injury when she hung herself. I have been sharing a scripture with her through email, and we both know the power of the word to save souls. It encouraged her that you and your church are praying for her. God answers prayer. Praise God. She's from India, and remember to pray for Charlene as she recovers physically, that she may recover in her soul. This morning, one of the greatest, Art Linkletter, one of the great man in the media today, has said that the best recovery for a child is not psychology, is not psychiatry, is not medicine, is not drugs, is Christ. And I think he said, when a child or a young person get Christ, that's it, it's all over, is a new person, and life change. And I agree with him. I have two questions for you this morning. It came in the internet by my son-in-law from Canada. He, as you know, he's a chaplain. He loved to race cars, and I think he stopped racing cars and became a chaplain in Indianapolis and Formula One and so on, and he's in a big race in Canada. And from there, he shared me two questions he said will be good. It's so good that I want to share it with you this morning very briefly. Question number one, try to answer these questions in your mind, and then I give you the answers. If you knew a woman who was pregnant, who had 8 kids already, 3 who were deaf, 2 who were blind, and 1 mentally retarded, and she had spills, and she's expecting a new baby, would you recommend it that she have an abortion? Now think about that. Question number 2. It is time to elect a president, and your vote counts. Here are the facts about the 3 leading candidates for the presidency. Candidate A, he associates, let me see if I associate with crooked politicians and consults with astrologists. He had 2 mistresses, and he also chain smokes and drinks 8 to 10 martinis a day. Candidate B, he was kicked out of the office 2 times, sleeps until noon, uses opium in college, and drinks a quart of whiskey every night. Candidate C. He's a decorated war hero. He's a vegetarian, doesn't smoke, drinks an occasional beer, and hasn't had any extramarital affairs. Which of these candidates will be your choice? Now, here are the answers. Candidate A is Franklin D. Roosevelt, the one who have all these crooked politicians and mistresses and so on. Candidate B, the one who really was kicked out of the office and used opium and so on, is Winston Churchill. And then candidate C, the one who is a vegetarian and a clean fellow and a wonderful man, is Adolf Hitler. That was interesting. And by the way, about the question of abortion, if you say yes, that lady should have that boy killed, then you killed Beethoven. All right? Okay, now I think it was good, and it was worthy to listen. The young people, good to listen. Now let's turn to God's Word in John chapter 15, please. John chapter 15 in your Bible. See, things like this come all the time to the pastor, bombarded with over 300-400 emails all the time, every week, because of our radio broadcast and family radio. And some of them are good, and I want to share it with you because it's worthwhile. All right, John chapter 15, verse 11 is our text. Before I read the text, you know that the messages of this month has been designed to bless the believer. We talk about learning to worship from John chapter 4. We talk about learning about motherhood from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And last Sunday, we talk about learning to cope with sorrow and depression from Psalm 13. If you do not have these sermons, tapes are available free of charge to you. A donation of $1,000 or more are welcome. All right. Now, today is the last sermon on this series that I prepare to bless the believer. God's willing, on June, I'm going to start 2 Peter, and the series will be Knowing God, Knowing God. I think sometimes we do not know all what God is, and therefore we are not able to use his power and his blessings. And so Knowing God will be the series for June and July. But here we are today in this sermon, learning to enjoy life. And the reason is because of John Gospel chapter 15 and verse 11. John Gospel 15, 11. Jesus is speaking. And this is what he says. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be fulfilled. Now, it must be very important for Jesus, the word joy, because in chapter 17, the same gospel, chapter 17, and in verse 13, Jesus used the same exhortation. Now he's praying now. In John Gospel, chapter 17, and verse 13, Jesus is praying. And the Bible said, and now come I to thee. Jesus is speaking with the Father. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And not your joy. Is his joy that he's talking about. You get it? Is Jesus not talking about the hilarious joy that we sometimes have when we listen to a comedian? No, he's talking about the joy of Jesus in your heart. And in John 15:11, clearly he's saying in the original language in a simple way, the joy of mine be your joy. That's not what I want. Now listen to this. We have let sin blind us. We have let Satan control us. And we have let society bitter us. Do something, when somebody does something wrong against you, immediately some kind of anger develops in your life. Don't ever say an answer in anger, because you're going to repent it later. But When something like this happens, I just take a long walk until I cool off, and then I really trying to let God control me. But we have let sin bind us, we have let Satan blind us, and we have let society bitter us. Now, here is learning to enjoy life, said Jesus. I want my joy be in you. I want you to be a joyous person. Whether you are a young people within 20 and 30, whether you are 30 to 40, when you start thinking on money and in the future, 40 to 50, you are thinking in how well will be your retirement. 50 to 60, you are securing everything you have. 60 on, you enjoy life and do what you want. Whatever you are in these stages of life, that's how psychology think on ages. Whatever you are in these moments of life, Jesus said, I want my joy be your joy. So I have to deal then with the issue within the context. Jesus is saying this, I want the things I give you to be very joyful to you. So I want to pick three of them. Jesus has given us salvation. Jesus has given us sanctification. And Jesus has given us service. Is that right? And you can list it more. You can go through the Bible and list it a quantity. But limited to the time that I have to speak, I choose three of them, and I'm going to develop them. And the things I'm going to say, you know it very well. But it's good sometimes to have a review so that we can say, oh, wow, that's right, that's ours. And then you start joyful again. I don't mean, again, the hilarious joy that produces a comedian, but I mean this sure, balanced joy of the heart that you know where you are with respect to God and you. Actually, I want to have you to think that you must have joy between your mind and your heart. That you are at peace with your mind and with your heart. So enjoy your salvation. Number one, enjoy your salvation. Then you say, why? You are like my granddaughter. She will say why to every statement I made. So here it is. Enjoy your salvation. Or why? Let me give you four reasons why we should enjoy our salvation. Number one, because we are forgiven of our sins. Have you ever looked in Psalm 103 and verse 12? Psalm 103 and verse 12. We are forgiven of our sins. So there is no more guilt. We Christians do not carry any more guilt. And the reason is Christ has forgiven our sins. God has forgiven our sins. For how long? Look at Psalm 103 and verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he is God, removed our transgressions from us. Now, how far is that? Well, we all know if you learn to fly, the first lesson that you learn is to have a latitude and a coordinate. And you know that in the first two pages of the manual said, if you fly west, you never find east. If you fly in east, you never find west. But if you fly north, you find south. So it is amazing that God is saying, your sins have been forgiven. Put away. God will never see it again. In heaven, there will be not, I was taught in the seminary, this is story, that in heaven there will be like a television and there is all the rolling of your life. And you imagine what torture will be if all our life will be rolled in heaven just as God saw our life, not as you see it, but as God saw our life and roll over there. For what? Have the blood of Christ cleansed my sin? Yes, have. Have the blood of Christ put away my sins forever? Yes, indeed. I'm never going to be brought to court and stand before the mighty judge, God. Because my lawyer, the Lord Jesus Christ, went to the cross for me. And on the cross of Calvary, he paid for my sins. How many of them? All of them. My past, my present, and my future. Wow! That is the joy of Christianity. We do not need to be guilty of anything. Therefore, that's the first point. Enjoy your salvation because your sins are gone. Enjoy your salvation because we are redeemed. You know what redeemed means? Bought back. by a Savior, not by an institution. Enjoy your salvation because we have been redeemed, bought back by a Savior and not by an institution. Look with me in your Bible in 1 Peter in chapter 1. And look at in verse 18 and verse 19 what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. We have been redeemed by a Savior, and not by my own works, not by what I have learned from childhood, which is good. If your mother was a religious person, it's absolutely good that you were brought up under the fear of God. If in your home the people have read the Bible for you when you were a child, it's absolutely good. But that is not the thing that saved you. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received, your vain way of behavior received by tradition from your fathers. Everything that we receive by tradition is corrupted. But look at verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I like that Peter, who was very rough and writing in Greek, but he put the word as a lamb. When John writes, remember, he said in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God. He don't say, behold as a Lamb of God. He said, the Lamb of God. When Jesus spoke, he said, I am the door. Doesn't mean that he's the door. Doesn't mean that he's a lamb. Always the word as is understood in the scripture. How wonderful the Bible is playing by itself. And so here you have, we have been redeemed by a Savior. If you have not a Savior, but a church, then you're not saved. A Savior should bring you to church. You understand that? A Savior. An encounter with a Savior by the Scripture. When the Scripture have spoken to you and you saw your guilt of your sin, and when you saw what the Scripture says about sin and about a Savior, then is when the salvation comes. So enjoy your salvation if your salvation is grounded on a Savior and not on an institution. You know, we are washed from our sin. If you have the problem that I have, I don't know why. I sit to eat, and I like to eat like this. I was going to sit for breakfast even this morning. My wife said, what are you doing? I put my coat and everything. I like to eat like this. I don't like to eat, you know. I just dress up for breakfast. But I always spell my tie. You don't know that this one, but I work hard. But and so my wife irritates my wife. She said, well, why don't you take everything out? No, but I like to eat, you know, well dressed. Well, how are you going to eat otherwise? Now, the other day, what I did was bad. What it was? In my shirt. See, I like to use these with these things and so on. And it was really bad. So I went to the store and I said, will you please help me? I need this. My wife said, well, no, you have to sell it to the, send it to out. No, I said, there must be in America something to clean this. And they sent me to, the lady said, I'll help you. He went over there and got something spotted. Really, you know, work. I had to send it out. What will you use to wash your sins? The Catholic Church in the dark hours of the 1100 used penance. This is a dark hour of the world. Penance. You pay so much and your sins are washed away. That's how Luther got smart and said, this is something wrong. The scripture doesn't say that. What will you use to wash your sin? Look at the book of Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Look at how happy we should be that our sins are washed away completely by God. Revelation 1 and verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that love us, and look at this, and wash us from our sins with what? With penance? No, sir. In his blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here we have a remarkable news for us. And so enjoy your salvation. Your sins have been forgiven. Your sins have been paid for. And your sins have been washed away. There is no longer a day in heaven where I will stand and my sins will be brought to the attention of God. Oh, how happy. Are you happy? Are you happy? Are you happy? Number two, enjoy your sanctification. You know the word sanctification means your separation. Your separation from the world. Now, we are in the world. We live in the world. Most of you don't have the privilege that I do have at my two jobs. I work with Christians. Sometimes I wonder if it's a privilege, but it is. All right? And I work here in church, and I work there in the radio. But I imagine how tough will be for you guys and you ladies to work in the world, because I worked in the world when I was an engineer and when I was in, all my life before I became a pastor, I worked in the world in the 60s and in the 70s. Now, enjoy your sanctification. You say, Pastor, it's so tough. Everybody cheats. Are you telling me everybody is a car seller? No, excuse me. I don't mean to put it that way. But everybody cheats. Everybody do this. And everybody do the other. And everybody wants to get ahead of you, even if they step on the top of you and so on. I remember clearly. It was 65 when I needed a job. And it was an architect of my same nationality I have in San Francisco. And he knew about looking for a job. He called me. He asked me a few questions, and I told him what I did in Argentina and what I developed. He said, you know, there is an opportunity here, but I don't want you to come here because otherwise you can get ahead of me. And so he never told me where he was. And not even, I don't want to go. Somebody said, I don't want you. You don't want to go. But this is natural. This is a natural man. And how you deal with that? People said, well, how do you deal with the world? Now, let me tell you what you have. So that you never have an excuse, never have an excuse, no being separated from the world. Number one, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit in each one of us believers. Look, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You studied this already, but it will be good to remember. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul writes to the church of Corinth, who has so much trouble with sin. And you studied 1 Corinthians, so you know how horrible it was. And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple? You notice in my Bible the word temple has a capital T. Like the tenth, you are the temple of God. Don't you know you are the house of God? And who dwells in my house? Now here in this text says, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If you're a believer, you do have within yourself the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of the living God dwells in you. So no excuse for you in the sense that you're going to sin willingly. It's no excuse. I tell you how we do it, how we sin willingly. We do. And I tell you how. What needs to be done in order for a believer to do that. But we have the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in each one of us. Imagine if the President of the United States called you and said, tonight, will you prepare a bed for me? I'll be stepping in your house. I don't mean not this president, but a good president. Imagine that. Imagine that. Your wife will tell you, go with the vacuum, clean this, clean the other. I mean, the President of the United States in my house. How wonderful it is. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a believer, you have the presence of the living God in your house. We take it for granted. Secondly, we have the power of the Holy Spirit available to us. Let me show you. Go to the end of your Bible to 1 John chapter 4. We have the power of the Holy Spirit available to us, to each one of us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Oh, in the world we have all kinds of things. Satan tries all kinds of imaginations to get us into trouble. Our own lust try to get us into trouble. If you're honest, you will say yes to that. But look at what happened when God put the Holy Spirit in a person. 1 John chapter 4 in verse 4. We are of God, little children. And you understand the word little children. John is about 105 years old. So anybody below that will be a little child. We are of God, little children, and we have overcome them, overcome sin, because greater is he, capital H, that is in you than he that is in the world. There is no justification for sin. Is that right? No justification. If greater is the Holy Spirit than Satan. We know that Satan is in the world according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. And so, therefore, there is no to be sorrowful and not to be afraid of any situation, any place in the world, because greater is God that is in you than anything else in the world. Well, that will give you confidence. Imagine you, my son-in-law told me, I asked him a question. I said, son, tell me, what give you confidence in a race? I only watched him once because he give you nerves. They want to take those curves. And he said, here's the confidence. If you know that your car has just more power than any other car in your category. If you can get about 10 horse more than anybody else, then I know how to use it. Is that legal? He said, no, it's illegal. It will have to be the same. But imagine if you have a car, 10 or 15 more horsepower, man of man, the seconds that I can take over each lap. Well, I tell you, you and I have more than 15 more horsepower in our heart. We have God, who has all kinds of power and who has all kinds of abilities at your disposition. You don't have to go to the priest and say, will you give me more power? The priest is in your heart. Now, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. But there is something that you and I have to do. We have an exhortation from the Bible in order for that Holy Spirit to work. Here it is, 2 Corinthians. You people going, I don't know if you studied this already or you're going to study this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 14 all the way to the end of verse 18. Here's the exhortation of the Holy of God for us. Now remember, you have the presence of God and you have the power of God. But that's an act automatically in a believer. See? That doesn't function automatically that when Satan comes, God knocks Satan. No, sir. No, sir. Look at here. This is chapter 6, 2 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, like the people in the East says, and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And always we smash young people with that and say, you cannot marry an unbeliever. Well, I tell you, you men, you cannot have an associate who is an unbeliever in your business either. See, that works for both ways. You cannot have associates sign a contract with an unbeliever. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? Wow, that's a strong word for you. If you're an unbeliever, God called you an unrighteous person. And what communion have light with darkness? If you're an unbeliever, God called you darkness. Verse 15, and what conquer or agreement have Christ with Belial? That is, in Arab, when you want to say Satan, is a Belial. Wow, that's tough, see? And what part have he that believe with an infidel? Infidel is a Latin word for unbeliever. And what agreement have the temple of God, remember we're a temple of God, with idols? We cannot worship other gods. We need no help from any other god to worship God. That will become an idol. Your money can become an idol. Your work can become an idol. Your wife can become an idol. Your children can become an idol. See? God don't want anything like that. For ye are the temple of the living God. This is the second time God said it. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and there shall be my people. Now, what I have to do to express myself with joy in the power of the Spirit? Verse 17. Wherefore, you come out from among them, and be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean things. See, God doesn't touch any unclean thing. He's pure. So now he gave us a tremendous help. He gave us his presence. He gave us his power so that we cannot say, well, he was more powerful than me. That you, yes, but not the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. But now he commands us to be separated. No business whatsoever with sin. And then, Pastor, let's be real. How come we sin? We believers sin. I'll tell you how. Ephesians chapter 4 deals with all kinds of sin until you get to verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4 and then verse 30. The Bible talks about put the new man and this and this and do not lie, do not get in hate, blah, 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 blah. And look at what he said, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. You know what the word grieve is in Latin? And excuse me, in Greek, that word grieve is, what do you do with the sawdust can? You save it so you can sell it later on. And then what you do is you just put it on the floor and you smash it like this with your foot, blah, 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 until it gets really, really flat. And then you put it over there and so you make a big box and then you go to here to the rescue place and then you sell it for coins. But when you smash that can and make it really flat, that is grieving. That's how you say grieving in Greek. In other words, when we, by our own will, by our own desire, by our own choice, smash the Holy Spirit who's telling not to do this and not to lie and not to do this and not to do the other, when we smash the Holy Spirit, we grieve it, then we are at our mercy, not at the mercy of God. Then anything could happen. Then we are equal with an unbeliever, and we can do crazy things you never imagined. So enjoy your sanctification. That means let the Holy Spirit move on in your life. Work in you. Before you take a decision, you look upon the Scripture for a decision. That's the Holy Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit works through the Scripture. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. Everything you need to do is within the pages of this book called the Bible. Anything. Your study, your work, your love life, everything is detailed in this book. It's detailed by the Holy Spirit. The reason why we grieve the Holy Spirit is because we do not like some of the things the Bible said. I just mentioned to you, you cannot have business with an unbeliever. And then you said, oh, well, I don't know about that. Well, that's what the Bible said. Well, Pastor, I don't know about that. Then you are grieving the Holy Spirit. That business is going to go wrong. And then you ask me to pray. Why should I pray? The first thing I have to pray is you kill your business and you start right before God. See, we demand from God all kinds of God bless me this way, bless me this other way. God bless us already. He bless us already. The young people say, Pastor, pray that I will be a good student. Well, I will pray that you will behave according to the power that is in your heart. And the school won't be a pancake if you like pancakes. You see what it is? Enjoy your salvation. Enjoy your salvation. You have power for everything. Remember what the Bible said? We can do all things through Christ Jesus. That's what that means. Letting God control you. Anything, nothing is impossible for God, told God to Abraham when he said, you're 100 years old, you're going to have a baby. And Sarah said, God is funny. No, God is not funny. God is in business to tell you, we have power. We have power. And it's not our power. Is God's power. But I'm sorry to say there is a button, there is a switch that you can push as a believer and get the power of God off. And then we are in our own. So enjoy your salvation. Your sins have been forgiven. Enjoy your sanctification. God has given everything you need to enjoy it. Now enjoy your service. You're a believer to serve God. Enjoy your service. Number one, we are working for the kings of kings. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. We are working for the kings of kings. The Apostle Paul tells the church of Ephesus in Acts 20, and in verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life there unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. See, we are working for the kings of kings and the glory of God, glory. And the apostle said, here is what it is. I enjoy my ministry with a joy. I have received this from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to everybody. Now, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we have to go to Revelation chapter 19. And there you find who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 19, and look at in verse 16. And he hath on his vesture, Christ, and on his tithe, a name written. Revelation 19, verse 16. And Christ has a name written. What's the name of Christ? King of kings and Lord of lords. And in Acts 20, 24, the apostle said, I'm working for Jesus. And who is Jesus? Sometimes when we mention the word Jesus, we take for granted that he is to today, kings of kings and lords of lords. And if you are serving the Lord in your position as a janitor in the church, as one who pastracts in the church of the living God, as one who welcomes people into the church service, as one who cleans the building, whatever you're doing in the service, you are doing this not for Bethel Baptist Church. You are doing this for the kings of kings and lords of lords. Raise up your head. You're working for him. Wow, that's my enthusiasm. Otherwise, you will be down to nothing. Enjoy your service. If I ever look down and see what people do, I'm through. I quit quickly. But I look up. And even in my down days, I receive letters or calls from people who said, oh, 10 years ago, you touched my life. And you don't know how wonderful have been. I said, thank you, Lord. We are working for the kings of kings. Now, we are working together. Look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You study this, but I repeat it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. We are working together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. For we are labor together. Labor together, we call. We are working together, and we are working together, we call. So enjoy your service. Enjoy your brother and your sister. There's a brother here who always repeat for a long time this verse, love the brethren. It's in the Bible, it's in Peter. Love the brethren. We are different. But you see, we must have unity without uniformity. Remember that. Unity without uniformity. See, I don't want you to go to your breakfast and your home dressed like this. That will be no you. That's me. I even wash the driveway like that because that's the way I want it. Now, listen carefully. This is what it is. Unity in what we believe. Unity on the basis of the scripture. Unity that the Bible is the only sole authority of God. Unity that Jesus is the high priest. We need no high priest on this earth. Unity that Jesus alone saves and that the scripture is a revelation of God. Unity that the power of the Spirit has the capacity to deal in the hearts of people. Unity in the sense of believing what God said and not what anybody else said. That's very, 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 very important. Unity that the Bible has 66 books and nothing else. That kind of unity need to be ours, ours. And when we have these, we work together. But without unity, you cannot work together. Now, in the way you dress, in the way you eat, that's your business. Unity without uniformity. But the basis of God's word need to be guarded. It need to be guarded by this man, the pastor. Working together with the saint. What a joy. What a joy. And finally, why are we working together? You know, we have people who are salesmen here, and I'm very sure that you have, when the boss put the new product on the area, you ask questions in order to sell the product. When I was an engineer, I looked in all the jobs that the company have, And guess what was the job at Bazemore? The job, the sales. So I applied and I got the job as an engineer who sells bridge, big bridge, highways jobs. And before I go to the company to do a presentation of what we are able to build and sell, I went to the shop to find out what we build, how we build it, how fast we can have it, and what it's good for. And when I have all of this information in my pocket, man, I make graphics and things, and I sold a bridge even in New Jersey from California. Because I told the guy, this is what you need. Now, why are we working together? I tell you what churches do, to have a big, large church. There's nothing wrong with a big, large church. The only thing is the pastor going to be so personal at this pastor in a large church, but if God wants a big, large church, it's okay. We work together to have a church with a lot of money. All kinds of things. We have a church. We have to have working together to have a lot of ministries and a lot of things. Well, you can add all of these. But there is an answer in the scripture, in the Gospel of John, in Luke, excuse me, in chapter 19 and in verse 10. We working together for a purpose. And here is. And I want you to get on in this because this is very important. We are not here to work together to become scholars of the Bible. We're not working here together to become a head so big that we know everything. No, we are working together for this. Look at verse 10 in John, in Luke Gospel, chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man, oh, capital S, we us, Jesus. For Jesus, the Son of Man, is come to what? To seek and to save what? That which was lost. And we are working together here to seek those who are lost, to seek those who have not the ability to know God, so that we can share God with kindness and love and compassion and see what God will do in their life. Do you enjoy your service? See, if you have not that goal, the service will not be fun. If you do not have this goal, do radio work is no fun at all. Working in family radio is no fun at all. Will be a heavy burden. But it is no heavy burden because every week there is a letter from a Spanish country said, I found the Lord today. I don't know why. I turned the radio and I hear this scripture. I hear you here. Oh, somebody, do you know that we have more people in jail studying in family radio school of the Bible than any time? And I had to have this coming Tuesday, a meeting with the Holy Staff. We're going to modify certain things. We have to be able to reach the chaplains and do something else. We don't have the capacity, the money to do all the work. All the people in jail. And some people say, how do you get it? I don't get it. One man in jail talks to the next man. And you know what? You are 3 months in this jail and they move you. And boy, what a headache to all of us. The material come back and the people complain. But once in a while, you get those students right. And Carol can tell you, those exams that they take, they are top of the line. If you want a good student, you got a student in the jail. See, they have the time of their life. But we reach them. We reach them. I never forgot when the manager of Macy's in New York shake my hand in New Jersey. I said, I was a man in jail. And through the studies and the book of Romans, my life was revealed. And thank God, Family Radio has shaken the hands of the governor of New Jersey. Not the one that we have now, but the one 10 years ago. And the governor said, it's so good. It's so good that we need a library. And in the worst jail of New Jersey, we have a library, Family Radio School of the Bible. Our brother Jerry Edinger did a little movie, and that's why we have a video of that. It is joy in serving Christ. It is joy. And so if I have to say all what I have to say, those 35 minutes in one text, I will look for Nehemiah chapter 8. At that time, Nehemiah come back. He come back to the people. And he come back to the people of God. And he found the scripture. The scripture was lost. And he found the scripture. And when he got the scripture, he read it. And the people were convicted. And the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be sorry. Why? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you want to have joy? It's the Lord. Art Linkletter said today, his daughter died, 19 years old. He was ready to speak in the army chaplainship in Colorado. And the news came. Your daughter took an overdose of LSD and is dead. And you know, he said, what support me? Was my faith in Christ Jesus. See, it is no faith in an institution. It is no faith in a man. It is faith in Christ that gives joy to our life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. That we confess to you, we still have to learn to enjoy life. We think a new car is joy. We think a new house is joy. We think a big money in the bank for retirement is joy. And we think so many things of this world, even though we are Christians, because we grieve the Holy Spirit, and now God's not speaking to us anymore. Oh, Lord, wake us up. Wake us up. That we may read the scripture again. That we may draw from the manna of life. And that the joy of the Lord be our strength. And Jesus, we pray. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. Amen.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again.
Someone is a Christian, then that Christian is empowered by God. And we confess to you that sometimes the distractions of this world blind us. Sometimes it's our own heart that blinds us. Oh God, take over and move us into the right path. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus.